Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, we're going to start out like we normally do, talk a little sports, and we'll get into some financial information.
Yeah, we got the NBA, the draft was yesterday.
Playoffs, the draft, yeah. So, and it's quite interesting to watch the draft when you got all the, you know, was it the 14 teams with the worst records?
Or yeah, the last four with the worst, the 14 teams with the worst records, they get the lottery.
And there's, you get a weighted, you get so many balls.
Yep. And it's four teams that got the 14% instead of the, right, like the regular 10 or whatever. So it was the Pelicans, it was New York, it was two other teams, and they ended up getting, the Lakers ended up in the fourth pick.
Yeah, the Lakers ended up in the top four. I don't think the Knicks made it. What did the Knicks fall in at? Was it like fifth?
Yeah, like
fifth. I don't think they were in the top four.
No.
But it was, you know, they there was some talk about it yesterday about they don't televise it anymore, right?
Right.
The ping pong balls.
I remember they used to do that when I was a kid.
They're saying that the NBA don't want you to see it. They got their own way of dealing with it. And I don't know. It said it's hooked. It's rigged.
Yeah, because I mean, I think about all the ass that was coming out. 95% Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and then they had a picture of Zion. Like, he's going to the Knicks. He's going to the Knicks.
Right.
Everybody's saying, the Knicks going to get the pick. They're going to get the pick.
And then you look at the highest profile player that is potentially looking to leave their team this year.
That's right.
Happens to be the Pelicans, right? Anthony Davis. Said, I want out. So it's like, okay, if we move one superstar out at the league, we need a superstar to replace him with, right?
Yeah,
and you're not going to get that in a trade. No. Rarely will you get another superstar in a trade. So it behooves the league to say, okay, Pelicans need that number one pick because Anthony Davis said he's walking. He's out of there. So we need to help out that organization. Just like years ago when they nixed the trade, was Chris Paul going to the Lakers?
That's right.
And the league stepped in.
2005 or 2004, something like that.
Yeah. And said, no, you can't do that.
David Stern did that. He killed that trade.
Yeah.
Kobe was hurt.
Yeah. You're stacking superstars, man.
Yep. And then after that, he gave him Steve Nash in the White House. So here you go. Here's a consolation prize. Like, Steve Nash,
right. He got the best years in Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Dwight Howard had the broken shoulder. So he's like, you gave me two hobble people.
Right. And it make you wonder now.
Yeah.
It make you wonder whether or not it's true.
Lakers steal stuff for him today from it.
Yep. Because they've never been the same. Nope. So it was interesting. So see what happens in the offseason. You know, but we still have the playoffs down to the Final Four.
That's right. Final Four. Big
Golden
time.
Golden State, Portland. I still think Golden State is the team to beat. Even if, you know, they get past Portland and they have to play Milwaukee. Can Toronto beat them? I don't know. But right now I got to stick with Milwaukee. And I don't think they can beat the Golden State Warriors, man.
I don't know. I think the stage would be too big because when they played Boston.
That first game, they looked like they was in a daze.
Yep.
Headlight, deer with the headlight.
They are the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks. So, there you go.
Deer with the headlight for real. So just imagine that right there. So it's like, were they ready? But when you think about it, I mean, the freak is unguardable. He's like a Wilt Chamberlain that plays point guard.
Yeah. So who is that person that could stop him on
Toronto. Do you put the LeBron stopper on him? Because remember, Kawhi had guarded LeBron in those finals when he played for Miami. So he might be the guy. And then these two guys trained with Kobe in the offseason.
Yeah, but I don't think one guy can stop.
No.
Honest, man.
No, I don't think either.
You gotta double, triple team him. You got to build a wall.
Yeah, you do. And then the ratio with them is 3-1 to Toronto. Toronto only won one game.
Is that it?
Out of the series.
Okay.
But then Toronto got a whole country, and you got little old Milwaukee.
Little bitty Milwaukee.
Like a city like Lansing. Like Grand Rapids.
Small market.
So you're going up north to the country.
Yep.
And then you come back to the neighborhood in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, Milwaukee got some tough players, man. Yeah. I like their mental attitude. They're physical.
They're teammates. They're team players.
And they're team players, man. And the one guy came back briefly towards the end of the series that had been out.
Yeah, Braug or something like that.
Yeah,
he's tough. He's like Giannis. He could dribble, shoot. He's a foreign player.
Yeah, tough, they got some too. Big players too. They got some big players, and you got some tough guard play.
You know Paul Gasol is on that bench too. Marc Gasol's brother is on
Milwaukee's bench.
Yeah, but he heard he had a foot surgery.
Okay,
that's another brother series.
Right, wow. Another brother series. Yeah.
Because on the other side, you got the Curry and Curry.
Curry and Curry, yeah.
I saw their mom with a jersey on that had Stephen's jersey on the front and the other brothers on the back.
Oh, okay then. Because I know when I seen the shot Dad had on the Warriors and the mom had the Blazers, but on the front side, I didn't see the back.
Yep, on the back of somebody else's jersey.
Okay then. But that's got to be a great treat as parents, man, to watch your kids out there playing in NBA, championships, man.
That's a dream.
It is. Yep. Steph showed out.
Yeah, yeah. 36.
That's ridiculous.
He showed that he was a big brother.
Yeah, man. His mom, they interviewed her last night. She was saying that she was hoping a younger brother could win the series because, you know, the big brother was always dogging him out growing up. You know, he's dogging him out when they play basketball. So
yeah, they do.
She rooting for her baby.
Wow. She basically said that, huh?
Yeah. She rooting for her baby. Because her big brother, he got three titles, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So I want my baby to get one.
Yep. Let your brother win.
Don't think so.
Yep. Let your brother win.
Yep. So it's been fun. It's been fun. And offseason is going to be, you know, NBA is going to be in the news, man. Throughout football season, probably.
I think they playing that, Tony, now. Because, like, it's always on the ESPN and the other shows. They always got some platform talking about basketball.
Yeah, well, they both got their own stations now. NBA Network, NFL Network. And you can change any of those stations at any time and get up on the latest in those two leagues. So, you're right. It's by design. They want to keep that fan interest at a peak. So they can sell those season tickets and tickets, get folks in those seats, and make money. End of the day, make money, man. Another interesting note I had picked up this week was the Big Reds football team. Had 18 seniors on the team this year.
Yes.
And 12 of the 18 has all received offers to play football at the next level.
That's a lot of
which
kids.
Which I think is amazing.
Man, that's amazing.
And you know, on a couple of levels. One says that they are academically eligible to participate at the next level. And evidently they have the skill sets in which to participate. So that goes to show you that we're not just only developing these skills as football players, but also as students, student athletes.
Well,
that's the name of the game, man. And basketball is the same way.
Character and integrity. Like you said, the boys, all the seniors, all three seniors got scholarships to play at the next level.
On the basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, I just talking about community college, all of them. We're talking about Division II. Some of them go Division I. I mean, it's great things happen at that level, at that school.
It's a degree, man. Okay? Like we talked before, they won't go professional in sports, but they're going to be professionals in life, all right, some form or fashion.
That's it.
You know, girls basketball team, the same way.
Yeah, four out of the five seniors chose to go to college. The fifth one, she wants to major in pre-med. She probably like, I'm just going to focus on my studies, but it's still schools asking about, about the girls. And she was the scholar athlete of the year.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, for this area. So it's like, when you look at scholar athlete of the year, I mean, man, that's.
Yeah, she, you know, at this point in time, she's not ready to commit to, you know, playing basketball on a regular basis while working on her studies. But that's why they have intramural sports in college, where you can say, okay, I'm going to take a week, an hour, 2 hours out of my week to go play pickup basketball, stay in shape, just, you know, keep my skills straight. But I don't have the daily grind of attending practice and those kinds of things. So I get it. I can understand, you know, her desire to want to excel in the pre-med curriculum.
Yeah, you're
not
right.
Mad at all, man.
Yeah, so this is a good thing to see all those kids go on to the next level and do stuff. And then that's where you can hit the highway, too. You can catch them play at the next level.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
like a ticket or something.
And we had, you know, a couple kids graduated. Antoine Billings and then our guy, Deshaun Thrower. You know, I've seen some of their their graduation ceremonies on Facebook. So that's just a couple of kids that have graduated.
Yep, the Antoine Miller kids graduated with a mechanical engineering degree.
Mechanical engineering. Okay, that means he's going to help build factories, right?
Yeah.
When companies want to build factories, install new equipment,
you hire
a mechanical engineer.
And we're not just talking about the guy that's fixing the machines.
No, he's designing.
He's going to be the contractor with the license when he comes in. He don't even have to do that much work.
No, yep. No, he's going to be a designer, man. Yeah, he's going to be the project manager. All right, all changes, everything has to come through him. Say, okay, yep, I approve it. Let's go that way. So that's great. You know, he'll probably take on a role, you know, some kind of an entry level with a company, but we would hope at some point in time, eh? Brother get a shot to have his own company.
Yep. Wow, that's amazing. Going from Muskegon football, did all that for him.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I would love to see Deshaun come back to Muskegon and serve in some coaching capacity. You know, hopefully get a certificate in teaching, what have you, and come back and share his stories about, because it wasn't an easy path, no, right? We all know that. But it was not an easy path.
I think he got some more playing in him. I think he could play at the next level.
Okay.
I think he could play at the next level, either football or basketball, and, man, make that happen. I think he can. I really do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he'll get an opportunity. Yeah. He's graduated now, and, you know, all basketball teams, football teams, they have the free agency tryout camp, so – you can go put your hat in the ring and see what happens, man. Yeah.
And then when he's done, I think he can put some more miles on his body.
Okay.
Yep, well, I really think he can.
Well, we definitely need to have those kids come back too.
Yeah, you're right.
Want them to go out, do well, and come back and help serve the community as role models.
That's right. Right? Yes, sir.
The kids know, hey, yeah, you can make mistakes in life, but if you stick to it, it's possible to overcome those adversities and still be successful. So I think that's a great story for our community when we watch Deshaun Thrower.
Yeah, we got it. We talk about it. It's a money show. We got we're talking about kids
money.
Getting money.
Money,
that's
money,
college.
Money.
Yeah. So I know you said the IPO came out today, was released.
Yeah, the ride share, which has been in the news lately for a number of reasons. And the major two are Uber and Lyft.
Okay.
And especially, you know, like we don't see as much of it here, but I was in Boston a couple weeks ago, and it's like it is very prevalent. Okay, there's people that make a good living doing this service is ride share.
I did it for some time, made some good money.
Okay,
man,
yeah.
I'm talking about real good money. And my wife made me stop doing it because I was hanging out too late doing it.
Man,
what you
Ryan.
Doing? She called me. I'm doing that.
I'm picking up and dropping off.
Yeah. I mean, some nights. I mean, especially during the football games, the Michigan State. I was doing it like 3 years ago when it first hit. One day I made $1,800.
Okay.
So you talking about driving and hustling?
Right. And, you know, the good thing about that is there's no cash exchange. So, you know, you're not a stick-up target.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's done through these apps. All right? Credit cards tied to it. And they put that money into your account. And it's basically a cashless exchange. Other than if they decide they want to give you a tip outside of what they gave the for the Uber drive.
Yep. Anytime. So when you look at that, the expectation is like, but then you got the media around it where you got these incidents where you get people that try to compromise the business.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it happens in all facets of life. I mean, cab drivers done it too, right? We know some horror stories with cab drivers.
You're right.
So, I mean, it's just a bad element in every part of life. I mean, there's bad insurance agents. There's bad teachers. There's bad whatever, police officers. But unfortunately, they choose to target these folks, but yet you can't argue with success. Okay,
no, you can't.
And even with the bad publicity, these companies are worth billions of dollars, man. Okay, and they don't even look at them as a rideshare company. They look at them as a tech company. All right, just like they do at a Microsoft or a Google.
I mean, just imagine what that office looked like. You don't have no overhead.
No, you don't have to. You know, no car repairs. You don't have to buy, you know, like a rental car company, right? Fleet of cars.
Yep, they got to have 30, 40 cars.
Yeah.
On tap.
On tap, man.
All you need is your cell phone.
Yep.
And you got your own car. You got your own insurance. You're taking a liability on. They'll look out for you in some things. If an accident or whatnot, cause you can pick up that kind of insurance to be a ride share driver. But then you're like, hey, I can run one of these Uber businesses and just have 50, 60 employees. And they got their own cars.
Right. If you want to, you can purchase cars and let them use them.
And they can drive for you.
Yeah, and they can drive for you. And you say, okay, for all whatever you get, you know, I got to get 10% off of that. And, you know, you set it up where Uber will siphon off 10% of what they get, and you get it. So there's a lot of ways to make money. But the stock is, you know, when an IPO, initial public offering, is designed for companies to get this infusion of cash into their company to expand, all right? And when you're talking about these IPOs, we're talking billions of dollars that these companies are raking in from the public purchasing their stock. And they can come up with better techniques and technology as far as managing the business. And you become an owner of that company by purchasing the stock. And, of course, you always got to look at what the IPO came out as, what it's currently worth, and invariably it's not uncommon for the purchase price of the initial to drop off, which it did happen to Uber. It opened at $45 a share. Now it's down to about $40.40. But that's an initial offering. But if you're an investor, you're looking at the technology that might come out of this and say, okay, I'm willing to take that little short-term loss because in long-term, I'm going to be looking at maybe $80, $100 a share. Because ultimately what they want to do is go with the driverless, right? A lot of this is to purchase the technology.
AI.
To get to the driverless Ubers.
We're not talking about Allen Iverson. We're talking about that artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence.
And that's a whole another level of money.
Yes, it is. Okay.
The automation.
But it takes money, right? And this is the purpose behind these guys, man. Not just for people transportation, but again, for trucks, UPS.
Semi-trucks.
UPS is looking at these.
There's a lot of movies right now that show automation, like semi-trucks driving on certain highways.
Yep.
And they don't have nobody in them. I've seen several movies like that.
Right. And it just, 40 years ago in high school, right, we should take like accounting class. And we would talk about cashless societies. And I was like, not going to happen. Well, guess what? We basically live in a cashless society, if you will. There's so much commerce that takes place that does not require cash.
Yeah.
When you purchase things over the internet, okay, when you go to the store, when you travel, there's no cash exchanged.
It's just numbers.
It's credit cards, debit cards, and it's probably 75% of the commerce now. All right?
I just try to travel with like $100 in cash.
Right. I'm still old school. Yep. I still like to have a little cash on me.
And by the end of the day, I might still have $100 on me just to have it on me.
Right. Yeah, for that emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I got my debit, I got my credit cards, and then I'm functioning like that.
But if you go into a store and watch, it's 8 out of 10 transactions are done with a card, man.
Wow.
And that's the thought behind the cashless society. Cash will never go away completely. That won't happen. I'm here to say that. Okay. But even in the cities, man, parking meters now, right?
Yes, sir.
Parking meters now, you can use a credit card.
Yes, you can.
Parking garages. Credit card. It's incredible, man. But anyway, that's the purpose of these companies offering these IPOs. Lyft was ahead of Uber. They did it last year, and they opened up at like 88. They was double the amount that Uber is. They dropped off to 40. They lost a half their value, but they're on the way back, 53. But again, the driving force here is to be able to purchase, do the R&D, the research and development into the driverless vehicles in the future. And they think that's going to pay huge dividends. That's why they're doing it. So, yeah, that was my piece. And there's one other piece I'm going to talk about. Yes, Amazon.
Sir. Yes.
Amazon made an offer to their employees the other day that if any of them were willing to leave the company to start their own delivery service, they would bankroll you. They would help you get started. Because they're saying right now, with the UPS, United Postal Services, and FedExes of the world, they can't keep up.
They need help.
So they're willing to take their current employees that have an entrepreneurial spirit
Wow.
And say, okay, we're going to help bankroll you Like, I think minimum is like 10 grand. We'll give you 10 grand at least, minimum, to go out and get started on a delivery service for our goods.
Well, I've been doing that. Like, I've been doing, I've been doing that short term. Like, during the holiday season, I have a company that send me packages.
Right.
And you know, because they don't want to pay the whole big fee. And it's like, it might be a small location that they're going to, like Wisconsin or Milwaukee or something. So they send them to me. Then I repackage them, and I send them, take them to FedEx, and I package them, and I send them off.
Okay.
It might be cell phones. It might be electronics. It's all done right, because when I go pick them up, if they deliver them to my home, I get them. It might be like 6 phones. And I say, okay, well, take each of them out individually. They give me an address for those 6 phones, and I send them to the next address. Because if they send all 6 of them there, it becomes a corporate price.
Right.
And it's much higher. It's a much higher write-up.
Right. And there's more expense involved in it, too, as well. Because you got to pay for all the postage and what have you.
And they was paying me $20 a package when I was doing it, during the holiday season.
Okay.
So they've been bringing a nice little piece of change.
Okay. Man, that's all kind of hustles,
I'm thinking now, I'm like, well, you're going to start, give me $10,000.
Start your own delivery service, man.
All you need is the LLC, and then you just got to be able to have a car. Mm-hmm. And you have your computer at home to print your labels.
Yep.
That don't cost $10,000.
Nope, and they ship the products to your house.
Yeah, that's all they do.
Yep, and you do the delivery.
That's what I've been doing.
This Amazon, man, they're just always thinking out the box.
Wow.
Right?
Yes,
this
sir.
Bezos, because, you know, Bezos owns a good portion of Uber.
Yes, he does.
Okay? And all this guy doing is, man, is making more money and more money.
He gave his wife $53 billion or something like that?
I think she got $36 billion. Okay. Yes, instantly became the richest woman in the world. A couple
houses and cars.
Yeah. Through the divorce. And they said it was very amicable. They didn't have no fighting, and it wasn't messy.
Who you mad at?
Right.
If I give you $36 billion, you going to come back and get you some sugar.
Thank you.
I left some sugar over here. You got some sugar.
We still cool.
You know? I don't know. I don't think a woman too mad she get $36 billion from
What you mad about?
Yeah. Every time you see him, he was a good man.
Yeah. I got 36. Why'd you leave him? I have 36 billion reasons why. Yeah,
he had to be tough to deal with then.
Yeah, she caught him cheating.
Okay.
Right? Okay, yeah. But do you know the story behind that
Yes, I do. He was sending his pictures, his member to people.
Well, the
pictures of it.
What's the newspaper? I mean, National Enquirer.
Okay.
See, they got word on it first, right?
Oh.
They got this word, and they contacted him. They said, okay, hey, we got these pictures here, and we're going to release them to the public.
What you got?
And unless you ante up. And he said, no. He said, don't worry about that. He said, go ahead and release them. He said, because at this current moment, I have hired a bunch of investigators that are actually investigating your company as we speak.
Wait for you to get them on the back end.
He said, in other words, you're messing with the wrong guy. So he told his wife about it, you know, that what was going on. But he said he was not going to be blackmailed. And, you know, the guy from National Enquirer actually stepped down. The CEO stepped down behind all this.
He can't have a billionaire. He can't have somebody that's really helping our country float right now.
Right. Yeah. He said, no, you know, if you think that's what's going to happen, I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to let her know. She said, okay, well, let's get a divorce. $36 billion later, she was moving on.
Yeah, that money been made up. He made that money up in interest already.
Oh, yeah.
This right back. Yeah,
Bezos is quite a businessman.
Yeah, that's to me, if I got a part with, man, that's half his income. But he wasn't too much affected.
No, that was only 25%.
Yep.
Yep, she got 25% of what he owned. So.
Okay.
But again, he's make you know through this IPO, he's pulled in another $100 billion. So he cool.
Sleeping, got that in his sleep. Oh, I lost $36 billion in my sleep.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep. But think about crisis. I was meeting with a client the other day, and I keep names not disclosed, you know, from everybody, because we've been talking about your emergency financial kit. And I know last week we talked about having some type of insurance or being able to handle a crisis when it comes, right? Cash in on skills and assets, being able to deal with your creditors. Well, this particular situation was someone that had a repossession, right? And so I'm going through the person's credit file, and they had this repossession. And the repossession said it was like for $5,000 for this vehicle that was almost paid off. I was like, man, just missed it, right? So I remember seeing this person a couple months ago. They said, we need to sit down and talk. I said, okay. So then when when the repossession happened, they went to a subpoena to his job, and they garnished your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man, so I called him. I met with the person and everything, and we're going through trying to figure the situation out. And I'm like, okay, well, they're going to keep on taking this certain amount from your paycheck. I said, you probably can ask your job to hold it for 30 days until you gather yourself if you got that kind of relationship. So he goes after that. So we sit and we go through it again. And I say, man, I say, what's going on? He said, well, they taking this much. And I told him what's going to happen. I said, well, they sold the car. You only owe $4,000 on the car. They sold the car probably for $2,500. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get some money back.
Yep. He's responsible for the residual.
So $25,000 to $3,000. So you on the hook. They sold that car, but then they tacked on these lawyer fees for like $2,000. So now you got $5,000 right back at you. But I said, it depends on what they sold the car for, though. So I said, that might be a different price when they show you what the car sold for. And then the lawyer fees come in. So we're going through that, and I start thinking, are you already in garnishment? So I can't get you out of that.
Right.
That's a subpoena. That's a court order. That's done by the law. So I said, let's do something else. And he's like, what? I said, what kind of exemptions do you claim on your paycheck? I remember me and you talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't claim none right now. I said, well, okay. So he showed me, I look at this budget, and he said, I'm getting such and such a week or every 2 weeks. I said, well, look, let's change your exemptions to a higher number and then let the garnishment eat that exemption, but your income tax come back lower. Then mm-hmm. I say, how was your income tax last year? So I haven't filed for last year or the last 3 years. I say, oh, you done missed the stimulus years. The years from 2015, 2016.
Right.
I said, let's get your W-2s. I said, you don't have no business or anything. He said, nope. So this is a crisis situation. So I called my accountant up. He called me. We talking. And he said, I got Chauncey right here. And so he did my accountant in the background. I said, so you're basically telling me last time you did your taxes was when Chauncey told you 3 or 4 years ago. He said, yeah. So I tell him the situation. He said, man, he might have some money out there that could pay for the garnishment. And he asked me, Chauncey, did you tell him to change his exemptions on his paycheck? I said, mm-hmm. Yep. So I said, I did all my due diligence. So right now he's in a situation trying to figure out what kind of taxes money he's going to get back. So the garnishment blow won't be so hard on him.
Yeah, if he's filing zero, he's got to be getting some money back.
Yep, he got to be getting some money back. So I'm thinking of the best for him, but this is like, this somebody contacted me because they hear us on the radio, Tony, and say, hey, man,
okay, good.
Help me out. What services you have provide for me? What can you do for me? And how can you build? And I was just like, well, how can you do that? And how can you move on? So just looking at it, I got the last couple things on here. It says tap these as a last resort. If you don't have an emergency fund or you have it depleted, you have a few other options. So he was in a situation where he ain't had it.
Okay, so he didn't have any. Okay,
so you being garnished and you got like, oh, what am I gonna do? They taking money for this car that I don't have no more. That I was like the last, I was at the third of paying it off. I'm at the last mile. And they take the vehicle.
Right.
And he's like, man. So they say one thing you could do is, if this is your last resort, tap home equity line of credit. Using a home equity line of credit is quick. It's hassle-free to raise cash. But remember that your home is on the line if you default on the loan.
Yep.
So the average rate of a $30,000 HELOC was recently 6.8%. According to bankrate.com. Okay? So HELOC loan like a bank account.
Yeah.
It's a bank account you can tap into.
It's equity that you have in your home.
Yep. Next one is a 401k loan. You can generally borrow up to 50% of your 401k balance, up to $50,000 for any reason without taxes or penalties, and you have 5 years to repay the loan, or longer if you borrow to buy a primary residence. The good news is that you borrow your own money and pay the interest back into your account. Most 401ks charge the prime rate plus one interest point.
Yep.
You will minimize the impact on your retirement savings if you continue to contribute to your 401k while repaying your loan, assuming your employer allows it. The new tax law extended the time you have to pay back the 401k loan after you leave your job. You now have until the due date of your tax return for the year if you leave your job to repay the loan and avoid taxes, and for 10% early withdrawal penalty if you left your job before age 55.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some people that did that one. I said a Roth contribution. You can withdraw from the contribution to your Roth IRA at any time without penalty or taxes. But by raiding your retirement savings, you do use the ability to that money to get that, what you say, that growth tax free for your future.
Mm-hmm.
So you missed that opportunity. And the last one is It's your alley right here. It says cash value from your life insurance. If you have a permanent life insurance policy, you can access a portion of your cash value through a withdrawal or a policy loan. You have to pay interest on the policy loan, but there is no repayment schedule. If you die with the loan outstanding, the amount subtracted from the death benefit, but it's not taxable. If the policy lapses while you're alive, however, the loan becomes a withdrawal. And any money received beyond the premiums you paid is taxable.
Yep.
So that's a taxable event. A
taxable event, yeah. Just like if on the 401k.
Yes, sir.
If you don't pay that money back, you retire, that becomes income. So now you got to pay taxes on whatever that money is, along with 10% penalty. So, you know, those are good ways to, you know, get liquidity quick, but there are some downsides to it.
Yes, sir.
So you got to make sure that you know, your job is somewhat secure and you do have a plan to pay it back, because if not, it could get ugly for you.
Become a taxable event. It's a problem. Yep. You better have a good CPA, a good accountant to get you out of jam. Because if I remember, if you haven't like you said, hardship, you can ride it out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the last one is the HSA withdrawals. If you have a health savings account in conjunction with a high deductible health insurance policy, you can make taxable contributions and withdraw the money tax free for qualified medical expenses. But if you use the cash for other stuff than current medical expenses, you could save money, you contribute to the HSA, and use it like a backup emergency fund as long as you match the withdrawals with eligible medical expenses you incurred since you opened the account. If it was years ago, keep a stash of receipts for expenses you paid for eligible medical accounts or expenses in your record. So you can't just get that money to pay a garnishment off.
Nope.
You got to use it so that, look, I can use this money here, and then I can pay this money with the medical stuff. So you can change the buckets, but you got to use the money where it goes when it's allocated it. So
the IRS will be knocking at your door.
Yep. So I got scripture today. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's Psalms 150. And basically saying that everything you want is in abundance. They didn't make one car. They didn't make one house. They didn't make one job. They didn't make one business. When you take a deep breath, you're not stealing air from somebody else. So it's not being competitive when you're trying to be your best self. And you want to serve your business and your community and your job and your career right. So just be able to look at everything in abundance and be positive about it going forward. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.